760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. I am Josh Harris, and this is The Morning Quest, where our slogan is we help you find joy in the journey, but you know what? You give that joy to us.
Amen.
We just pass it back. It's like a game of holy tennis.
Or how about pickleball?
Okay. If you're out of shape, pickleball.
No, I've got joy for everybody.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Pickleball, you got to be in shape.
Actually, I don't know if I've ever played pickleball.
I never have.
Listen.
Is it like ping pong for tennis, kind
of? I think it's a combination of ping pong, badminton, and if people...
Badminton?
Well, the thing is, you're playing with like a little wiffle ball. I say like a wiffle ball with paddles, but it gets fast. If you're good at ping pong, you'll be good at pickleball.
So it has nothing to do with dill.
Nothing to do with pickles and nothing to do with dill.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But anyway.
Wow. I don't know if that's a branding snafu or branding brilliance. Pickleball.
Well, we'll have
to. No pickles involved, but it's like, I'm immediately like, what's pickleball? You know? I mean, the name itself begs intrigue and curiosity.
Well, we're going to have to look into that.
We have to. But before we do,
we are going to start.
I know you've got a prayer for us today, Allison.
You betcha. Okay. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we come before you asking for an outpouring of joy in our hearts as we walk with you. Fill our lives with the joy that comes from knowing you, the joy that sustains us through every trial, and the joy that shines through in every moment. Help us to experience the deep, lasting happiness that only you can give, and let it overflow into our actions, words, and relationships. May our hearts be filled with gratitude for your love and grace, and may that joy be a testimony of others of your goodness. As your word reminds us, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. May your joy strengthen us, inspire us, and guide us as we walk this journey of faith with you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Well, that's good, and I'm surprised Dave's here this morning.
Well, I'll show you what I've got here. Got a little soap and a little toothpaste.
Looks like Dave's fresh out of prison.
So this is my donation for St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
When I have to stay at a hotel, I always take the little bar of soap and the little whatever samples I have, toiletries.
That is great.
And give it to St. Vincent de Paul. Now, I stayed in a hotel last night.
And let's talk why.
Because my vehicle blew a water pump yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I live all the way in Buford. My wife said, well, I'll come get you. But I'm like, I don't want her driving across and then back in rush hour. And then she'd have to drive me here this morning.
I mean, that'd be like, would that be a four-hour commitment on her part?
Not quite.
3 hours?
But an afternoon drive, I mean, it can take hour and a half.
Oh, yes.
Close to 2 hours, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Easy. So I'm like, I'm not going to have her do that. So it ended up staying at a hotel nearby here. And Allison, thank you for the ride this morning.
My pleasure. Well, you know what? It brought me joy helping you out and serving you, right? Because, I mean, you know, when the car things happen, it's never when we want it to happen, right?
No, that's for sure. I thought about it, though, and it could have been so much worse. I could have been on 400.
Oh, I know.
You know, I was like a mile from the station here. So it was like, you know, great. I mean, it would have been nicer had it been in the parking lot here, but, you know.
Yes, that always. Well, it's never convenient when it happens.
No.
Okay, let me tell you this story really quick, and kiddos, buckle up. Okay, I've got two pretty sketchy car stories. Actually three. I'm debating on which one to tell.
I sense a hostage situation.
I can't wait to hear it.
I was picking a friend up and taking him back from a medical appointment. Okay, and you think I've gotten some spiritual brownie points? You know what I mean? Because of course this is a transactional relationship we have spiritually, right? We do good things, we get good things. I'm just kidding, but but we do actually interiorly, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm driving this guy back, and my car just totally stops on the interstate. I'm taking my friend back. He's one of my very close friends. He's autistic. He had a thing, and he's brilliant. Like, he knows little things and is just so smart. And so the second my car like starts to hop, like just whatever, freak out, he looks at me and goes, your alternator's dying. Like, he knew right away. Like
wow.
A genius. Like, your alternator. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, nope, alternator's dying. And I'm like, nah, we're good, dude. I keep driving the whole car, the steering wheel locks up on 85. By God's grace, I am able to shimmy into this median. It's not even like this far right. It's in between exit ramp coming off onto the highway.
Yeah.
And so literally we are stuck between two lanes, like barely in this little sliver of an island. If I open the door, I risk someone just plowing through it. Keep in mind, all the electronics in the car totally shot. Mm. So we are in like a BO box, essentially. Okay. It is just getting hot and it smells not so well.
Now I get it.
Because the windows don't roll down. We can't roll the windows. We can't do anything. And I think we waited for a tow. I don't know if it was like an hour. I mean, it was a long.
If it was an hour, I'm impressed, because I've had waiting for tow trucks and it's been hours.
Mine was about an hour yesterday.
Yours wasn't bad.
We had to have a cop come and get us, bring us to a QuickShip where a friend picked us up, and I was trying to take him home. My friend takes him home and then takes me home. But my friend said the best thing, the guy I was giving the ride to. At the end of the car ride, he looks at me and he looks and says, "Robinson, my friend, thanks for giving me a ride home." And he turns around and looks at me and says, "Josh, thanks for trying to give me a ride home."
Hey, forever.
It was like the most legendary exit, and he just walks off into the sunset those being the final words.
You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, like, good job,
touché,
Josh.
Salesman.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
That's great.
Well, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up today. Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior, is going to be diving into today's gospel reading. We're going to get acquainted with the sainted with Chuck Persner today. And also we have Jessie Fearon. She is back, and she is going to be talking to us about how we can spring clean our finances.
Nice.
Yeah. And then coming up next, Father Elias Durham, pastor at St. John Chrysostom Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta. He is going to be concluding his talk about the Lenten prayer of St. Ephraim. And if you missed his first talk, you can go to our podcast online or on the app, March 12th.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Elias Durham, pastor of St. John Chrysostom Melkite Catholic Church in Atlanta, is back, and he is going to be concluding his talk about the Lenten prayer of St. Ephraim. So welcome back, Father.
Hey, good morning, Allison and Josh. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for welcoming me back.
We are so glad that you're here with us, Father. And for those who are just tuning in or maybe listening again, can you remind us about the prayer of St. Ephraim?
Yeah, absolutely. In the Christian East, it's a traditional prayer that we pray throughout the weekdays of Great Lent. We add it to all of our liturgical prayers and to our personal prayers as well. And it goes like this. O Lord and Master of my life, grant that I may not be afflicted with the spirit of sloth, inquisitiveness, ambition, and vain talking. Instead, bestow upon me, your servant, the spirit of purity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant me the grace to see my own sins and not to condemn my brethren, for you are blessed forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, Father, why is today such a perfect day to conclude a talk on the prayer of St. Ephraim?
Yeah, you know, so in our liturgical tradition, this past Sunday was what we call the Sunday of the Cross, the third Sunday of Great Lent. It's the midpoint. And so we contemplate the cross as a means of encouragement, because the cross isn't just about suffering. It's also a symbol of victory, and it's the source of our joy in the Lord and our source of sharing in his victory. But today is also the great feast of the Annunciation, right? The beginning of our salvation and the revelation of the mystery that was planned from all eternity. And this mystery is consummated on the cross. The story doesn't end on the cross. We have to think of the cross right alongside the resurrection and the Lord's glorious ascension into heaven. And we encounter this mystery in our own lives, and we share in the Lord's resurrection victory and the new life in Christ to the extent that we cooperate with God. And in Lent, our cooperation is what our repentance is all about. So last time, you know, when we were together talking about the prayer of St. Ephraim, we talked about the negative aspects of repentance, right? The things that we want to move away from, the sloth, the inquisitiveness, the ambition, and the vain talking. But today we can focus for just a moment on the positive aspects. So purity, humility, patience, and love. These are the things that we need to allow the life of God to flourish in our souls. Purity is really aligning ourselves with the values that lead us back to God in terms of body, soul, and spirit. Humility allows us to stand in the truth of our dependence on God and our need from Him, and that flows from our purity. Patience is a fruit of purity and humility. Mm-hmm. It's not being quick to judge or condemn, not measuring things by our own desires and ideas. And it's a reflection of God's respect for all things. And then love, it's the crown of all of our spiritual efforts. And it's the goal that we're striving for, is Christ-like love. And that is lived out by the final petition of the prayer, right? To see our own sins and not to judge our brethren, right? To see my own sins and not to judge my brothers. Because the biggest danger of living the life in Christ is pride. It's the source of all evil. So it's not enough for us to see our own errors. As wonderful as that is, we have to refrain from judging others. And when we do that, that's when pride in us is destroyed. And when we begin to live out our charity, our humility, our patience, and our love.
Wow, that's incredible stuff, Father.
That is, Father. So any final words you have to share with us, Father, about this beautiful prayer?
Yeah, especially today, on the Feast of the Annunciation. You know, the mystery of the Lord's becoming incarnate of the Holy Virgin and the mystery of the cross, they're two facets of the same reality. And we're meant to enter into them in our own lives. And we do this to the extent that we live out purity, humility, patience, and love. But that requires a willingness to take up the cross. And taking up the cross, that is our yes, that is our fiat, like the Holy Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary. And that is our cooperation with the grace of God in our lives. So as we journey towards Pascha, towards Easter, and the back half of Lent, let us journey well with God's help and God's intercession. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, well, Father, you just really inspired me with those really consoling words. What would you say to somebody who is listening and says, see, Christianity is just a bunch of rules, and God is really just, I guess it almost sounds like a fraternity. If you suffer during, I'm going to censor this, but suffer during Heck Week, then you get in, when you talk about the cross. How do you share that, God's cross?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, including myself, right? Like, we can think, especially pre-Christianity, that the cross is, and it is challenging at times. I mean, that certainly a lot of times, but it also leads to a deeper and greater joy. Do you have any thoughts on that, Father?
Yeah, absolutely. So whether you're a Christian or not, like, suffering is inescapable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the cross brings meaning to suffering. Like, yeah. The goal of Lent is not to make ourselves suffer. The goal of Lent is to learn self-control. Because actually, we suffer more when we don't have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't control what I drink or what I eat or what I do or what I say, ultimately, there's going to be greater suffering in my life. Suffering is a byproduct of learning to overcome our selfish tendencies. It's like a little kid who has to learn to share their toys. And so sometimes suffering becomes intensified because we're struggling against it so intensely. We just don't want it. And sometimes when we come to a place of acceptance, we can begin to see it in a different light, and it takes on a new meaning.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. That is so powerful, Father. Any tips you might have for people journeying into this Lent who, want to continue to just deepen their walk amidst those, the crosses that they feel like God has, invited them to step into with love?
Yeah. Remember that we embrace our crosses one moment at a time. Mm-hmm. We embrace it for the moment that's in front of us without thinking about tomorrow or the day after or the day after. And when we embrace the cross, the Lord is there with us. We never encounter the cross without encountering Christ as well. And then the last thing I'll say is we can't do it on our own strength.
Amen.
So the cross is always an invitation to prayer and to conversion.
Mm.
It's like what the Theotokos says in today's feast. when Gabriel comes to her, she says, "May it be done to me according to your word." It's what the Holy Virgin says. It's what the Lord says, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, his whole life is an expression of, "May it be done to me according to your word."
Yeah.
At the Mass or at the Divine Liturgy, right? We always pray, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, right? So the fundamental shape of the Christian life is growing in the ability to say fiat, to say yes.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you stay in like a harmful or a dangerous situation, but it means you accept, okay, this is what is in front of me right now. I accept it. And now with God's help and prayer and his grace, I can move into a different place. But it has to start with the acceptance.
Yeah. And that is so powerful how you phrase that, Father. Suffering with Christ equals meaning. Mm-hmm. There's no suffering you'll go through with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that cannot be profoundly more meaningful than had it never been there in the first place. That's so beautiful. And I think that could be a prayer for us. This the serenity prayer could be our prayer of the day. God,
yes.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. A good place to sign off on. We are so grateful for you, Father. Just amazing words as usual. Thank you.
Thanks be to God. Glory to God for all things. And thank you for the conversation today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thanks, Father Elias.
May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Another wonderful chat with Father Elias here at the Morning Quest. And you may be wondering or thinking, it's not the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord. Well,
I was thinking that.
You were thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a pre-record from our dear friend. We did a two-parter with him. So that was the second part. Looking forward to more amazing conversations with our good friend, Father Elias. Always blesses us with some pretty hefty words of wisdom.
Later in the show, Chuck Persner is going to be back, and he's going to help us get acquainted with St. Francis of Paola and Jesse Fearon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, and founder of Jesse Fearon Real Life on a Budget. We'll be back, and she is going to be talking to us how we can spring clean our finances. And coming up next, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior, is going to be diving into today's gospel reading.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:21.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, guys. Good morning, guys. Let's just jump right into it. So today we have our gospel from John. It says, Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." Amen.
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 So, long reading today.
Yeah.
And we could pick apart any one thing here. There's so much we could dissect. But one of the things that I kind of wanted to highlight or kind of point out was, you know, when we read Scripture, and this is not just for this reading, this is anywhere in Scripture, sometimes you'll hear Jesus say, "Amen, amen, dot, 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 you know, whatever he has to say. He says it three times here. Amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, I say to you. And then he you know, gives his message. He does it again at the Bread of Life Discourse, a couple other places. Whenever you hear, amen, amen, I say to you, mm-hmm. that is biblical code. As Bishop Barron would say, that's biblical code for shut your mouth and open your ears.
Yes, yeah. Listen.
It's listen to what comes next, because this is super, super important. And it's so important here. He says three times in this passage, amen, amen, I say to you. And each time he's reiterating, he's teaching, he's revealing something deeper, a deeper truth about his self, the Father, his relationship with the Father, all these things. And so the very first time he says it, the first time in this passage here, amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing, for what he does, the Son will do also. And so what Christ is conveying here, and he goes on in that same little segment there, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son give life to whoever he wishes. So what he's showing us is that the work of Christ is the work of the Father, mm-hmm. because the work of Christ is in unity with the will of the Father. And that's what he's showing us. And this is one of the reasons they're getting so mad at him right now, because he's putting himself at that level with God, yeah. you know. And so he's showing us that God is always at work. He's always sustained. He sustains, you know, he talks about giving life, sustains all life, sustains all that we are, all that we do, and that Christ, being one with the Father, continues that will, continues that mission. Whereas we continue the mission of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Christ is continuing or fulfilling the mission, the will of the Father. He goes on to reiterate, not to reiterate, but to double down, to say, amen, 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 I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. So not only is he saying, I do the will of the Father, but now he's saying that my words bring life. The life that the Father gives you, which is not an unusual or foreign concept to the Jews at the time, but the eternal life that the Father has, my words have that. And now I bring that eternal life to you through the Father, through me, from the Father. And so again, he's doubling down on this idea of who he is. He goes on even more, amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also the Son, to the Son, the possession of life in himself. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but he's basically saying, you know, not only am I doing the Father's will, not only do my words have power, have life, because they come from the Father, but also I am the judge of the living and the dead, and I can be that judge appointed by the Father because my judgment is perfect. His justice is perfect, and his justice is perfect because the Father's will is perfect.
Yeah.
And he does the Father's will.
Yeah, and that really is two things. It's really a treatise on like the Nicene Creed, because it said, you know, consubstantial with the Father. And this is really setting that in permanent ink. And another thing, when Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is this this equality in authority and in judgment, right? Because he is perfectly aligned with his Father's will. And Pope Benedict says, Jesus teaches us that true freedom is obedience to God's will. So just a beautiful reflection, Father. Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, it's beautiful. I think it's we forget sometimes how connected the Father and Son truly are. Mm-hmm. You know, we sometimes I'll ask people, you know, who you know, when you pray, how do you pray? Oh, I pray to Jesus for dot 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 dot. You know, sometimes I'll say I pray to the Father, but sometimes the Father gets so overlooked. You know, in our prayer life.
And I would say the most overlooked probably in the Trinitarian mold, would you say, Father?
Possibly. I think the Holy Spirit's right up there as well. You know, I think sometimes we look at the Holy Spirit as this power that works through us, which is not necessarily erroneous, but it's Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a person. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's three persons. And sometimes I think because we don't talk about the Spirit like that, I think sometimes maybe the Holy Spirit gets even more overlooked. But no, the Father for sure. There's an image in, if some of you out there are probably old enough to remember the Baltimore Catechism. We don't have it in the current catechism, but the theology is there all the less. Yeah. But there's an image of the Trinity, and it's this triangle image. This is not going to relate well over radio, but it's a triangle with the points that says Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the middle is a circle that says God, and there's paths going on the three sides of the triangle between all of them, and then three paths going into God. And each one says, if you read it, it says the Holy Spirit is not the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit. But then the inward paths say the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God. And so it's this, it's trying to unravel this mystery of this dynamic, this relationship we have between the three. And it just shows just how intimately connected these images are, the Father and the Son. And that's what, well, honestly, that's what gets Jesus in all the trouble he gets in.
So, Father, what would be a good takeaway for today's gospel?
So I would tell everybody, so just to remember that Christ is, you know, kind of these three things we talked about here. So Christ is the source of life, of our salvation, to strive, to pray for that grace, that strength, to live in obedience to his word, because his word leads to that eternal life. And ultimately, no matter what happens, in the end, to trust in his justice, not in our own merits, because it is in his justice that we find ourselves in perfect unity with the Father.
That's amazing, Father. And just very, very quickly, is there any small steps you'd say somebody could take who's listening to say, you know, I have a great relationship communication-wise with Jesus, but how do I step into more of a dialogue with the Father or the Holy Spirit? Any small suggestions there?
Oh, absolutely. So the same thing you would do in anybody you wanted to meet. So if you have a good friend and you wanted to meet their parents, or you wanted to meet their kids or their grandkids or whoever, you would go to the person you know and say, hey, can you introduce me to so-and-so? If you have a relationship with the Son, you already know the Father to some extent, like Christ says, like Jesus says. So just go into prayer where you're comfortable with who you're comfortable with and say, hey, I'd like a bigger, a deeper relationship with your Father. Can you introduce me?
That's beautiful.
And I promise you he will.
That is so powerful, Father. Thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you for making it simple. We need that.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Father Adam Black, pastor of Christ our King and Savior. We are truly grateful.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
It is 8:31. I am Allison DeLuel. Today marks the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II, one of the most beloved and influential figures of modern church history. To honor him, the Vatican will hold a special mass at St. Peter's Basilica. A prayer vigil will follow in St. Peter's Square as well. In a message sent earlier this year, Pope Francis offered his blessings to those participating in the anniversary events, invoking the intercession of St. John Paul II for a peaceful Jubilee year. Pope John Paul II's papacy, which began with a surprising election in 1978, left a profound legacy of mercy, hope, and reconciliation. His calls to be not afraid and to put out into the deep continue to inspire Catholics worldwide. His commitment to mercy is especially evident in his visit to the man who attempted to assassinate him in 1983, is a powerful example of radical forgiveness. Pope John Paul II's life was a testament to God's love and mercy, and his example continues to inspire a divided world to seek reconciliation and trust in God's grace. Later in the show, Jesse Fearon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, is going to be talking to us how we can spring clean our finances. And coming up next, Chuck Persner is back, and he is going to be helping us get acquainted with St. Francis of Paola.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Josh. How are two of my favorite holy fools doing?
Oh, we're doing good.
Marvelous.
Yesterday's conversation. I'm not sure how we top yesterday's saint, the holy fool himself, but we're going to go in a completely different direction today and discuss the idea of silence, solitude, because today, April 2nd.
Before you go there, I'm going to go in a different direction, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
It's your intro.
This is when it gets interesting.
They call him Chocolate Chip, our saintly sage, dropping holy wisdom like a monk on the stage. From jam bands to Ignatius, he knows him with grace, OCIA, and tempera rolls. He helps save souls with taste. Meeting him to pray, Chuck will get there sooner. He'll school you in St. Benedict and grab some spicy tuna.
Oh,
so Chuck,
gosh.
Give us the wisdom that never gets old. Like your favorite tuna, you're on a roll.
I thought you would have said older. I mean,
well, as soon as he said tuna, because Josh doesn't have a New York accent, I knew I knew the rhyme was going to have something to do with
tuna.
It was tuna, tuna. Quite good.
Oh, Josh, you're such a creative guy.
Who is the patron saint of poets? I think we're going to have to find some time in
Josh
April.
Josh Harris.
I don't know, but
is the job open? Maybe.
Who's the patron saint of poets? I think I know it. With my rhymes, they always show it.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
When I talk about Chuck, I never blow it.
On that note, Chuck.
Back to April 2nd.
Let's talk about our saint of the day. Let's get acquainted with the saint of today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's St. Francis of Paola, optional memorial on the liturgical calendar.
Uh-huh.
He was a hermit with a deep devotion to St. Francis of Assisi.
Uh-huh.
So time and time again, we see saints that are inspired by other great saints who came before them. His secluded and prayerful lifestyle was so attractive that people actually flocked to join him. And he had to begin a religious order to accommodate all of them. And that was the Order of the Hermits of St. Francis. He went on to write a rule of life for the friars, the nuns, and the lay people of that order, which came to be called the Minims, which means the least. God worked many, many miracles through him throughout his life and also gave him the gift of prophecy.
Nice.
When King Louis XI of France lay dying, Francis helped prepare him for his death. No doubt calling upon perhaps St. Joseph, the patron of a happy death.
Yes,
But it's always nice to have someone like that at your bedside in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
We see it from time to time with our family members to pray for a happy death and to bring someone safely home to the heavenly kingdom in a feeling of peace. And this was a man who exuded peace. You know, we're going to talk about some of his quotes, and it would seem as though this was something he strove for and he desired everyone else to have. The peace that he had, that he knew only came from Christ.
Amen.
His successor, King Louis XI's successor, that is, Charles VIII, was so grateful that he constructed a monastery for St. Francis. And he is, as you're going to get into also, Allison, the patron saint of seafarers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is St. Francis of Paola, who, again, we celebrate today by way of an optional memorial. It's the Lenten season. It's been my observation over the years of attending daily Mass that optional memorials tend to get a backseat to the Lenten message. So you might see white vestments on the altar today. You'll probably see purple, but nonetheless, a good saint for us today to contemplate as we all try and slow down a little bit during this Lenten season. Just reflect on this great virtue, this great gift, really, of peace.
Yes. So patron saint of sailors, mariners, and those who travel by sea, as well as those who are suffering from poverty and hardship.
All right.
Yeah, and I think over 1,400 others were drawn to his way of life, leading to the establishment of his religious community known as initially the Hermits of St. Francis of Assisi, again, emphasizing humility, penance, and charity. And Pope Sixtus, recognized this group in 1492. Just an amazing trajectory. It's incredible to think kind of the miraculous ascent that some of these saints have with the seeds that God places in their heart until they actually blossom into fruition when they just are all in. The order he founded actually took a fourth vow. In addition to poverty, chastity, and obedience, he took a vow of perpetual Lenten living.
Oh,
which
wow.
At the time meant no meat, dairy, or eggs.
That's amazing. And so appropriate that his feast day would fall then during the Lenten season. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the powers that be arranged to have that happen.
But, well, I was going to say Easter eggs count, but not if they have dairy in that chocolate.
Well, Lent is over by then. Oh, but you're right. It's perpetual Lent.
Yeah.
No Easter eggs. No chocolate cover. No Cadbury's. Allison, what do you think about that?
No all-you-can-eat sushi, Chuck.
Ugh. Well, wait a minute now. He was the patron saint of sailors. Perhaps he would fish.
Actually, sushi would be okay. It says no meat, dairy, or eggs. So
absolutely.
Sushi would.
So Chuck can still have his sushi.
I could do this life. I'm not big on chocolate eggs. I mean, it's not a big thing to me. I could give
maybe
this
you could, you know, maybe you could kind of ask them to, create a special role for you and call it the Paola roll. The Paola Rola.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm thinking a paella roll would probably have some tuna, yellowtail, some scallions, and a lot of wasabi.
And a lot of wasabi, yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe some lentils, too.
No lentils. No lentils. That was yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I've got some good quotes from our saint of the day. Listen to this one. It is not the quantity of prayer that matters, but the quality and the purity of our heart in prayer.
Wow.
And that's a conversation, you know, we have on our show quite often, Josh, don't we? In regards to, it's not about just saying the prayers, rattling them off. Where is our heart as we're praying these prayers?
Yeah.
Is absolutely. It truly absolutely. With the Lord, or are we just trying to do it to be done with it? Another great quote, peace is a precious treasure to be sought with great zeal. You are well aware that our sins arouse God's anger. You must change your life, therefore, so that God in his mercy will pardon you. What we conceal from men is known to God.
Yeah, yeah. That's the quote that seemed to keep coming up in mm-hmm. our discussions before we came up on the air. And this idea that the precious treasure of the gift of peace. Mm-hmm. And he strove for it his whole life, separating himself from all the things of the world. You know, right before the Lenten season kicked off, there was a collect prayer that was recited at daily mass for a number of days in a row. And I tried to make it my theme for the Lenten season. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it in the collect prayer, which we pray at the beginning of the mass, which is intended to collect all the prayers mm-hmm. of the faithful who are not only on hand, but of our entire church. And it talked about, you know, Lord, help me to be constantly pondering spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can do that over the 40 days of Lent, to just try and funnel out some of the other things.
Yeah.
The Netflix, the fantasy baseball, the incessant television watching, whatever it might be. Well, yeah, the NCAA tournament. I know Josh is looking over here like, you're not going to make me not watch the NCAA tournament, right?
That was one of my things for Lent. And I probably, you know, I probably should jump on that. But I had all these micro goals, right? And one of them was to, I don't have any social media on my phone currently. So that's definitely a positive. But for me, the big two are a certain amount of time of prayer every day. I'm not going to say the number because I don't want people to, you know, it's not about comparing. Like you said, not always about the quantity, but quality.
17 hours, by the way, for those who are listening.
Yeah, I sleep in the Quest Chapel. And then the second thing is, and this kind of emerged during Lent, but I gave a certain amount of money one week to charity, and I feel like something urged me to say, trust me, and try to give this amount of money every week during Lent.
Amen.
That's great.
And so that's the second thing. Now, one of the smaller ticket items was to stop watching basketball, you know, like stay away from like basketball highlights and things when I'm at the gym or, you know, on the elliptical machine. That one just hasn't happened there. I just feel like I got to stick with the big two at the moment until I get the willingness. That's the way it is.
Well, and again, basketball is not a sin watching it, right? But I guess whatever we're putting our attention on the most, right? And if we're losing track of God, but you're in the chapel. Josh, you are a faithful young man. Young man. How do you like
I'm
that?
I'm a young whippersnapper.
You know, as we're talking here, I think we need to have the Catholic Church petition the NCAA to move the NCAA tournament. May Madness.
May Madness.
Why not?
And give it a Marian consecration.
Amen. I like that. St. Francis of Paola.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And we're back in the classroom, kiddos. Get ready for a pop quiz. You know your scripture verses this week? Well, I'm not going to put everybody on the spot, but it's Philippians 4:19. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and if you need to break it down, just the first half, my God will fully supply whatever you need. Stop right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My God will fully supply whatever you need. Stop there. Part two, the next day, in accord with his glorious riches. And then all you have to remember after that is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed in Christ. Yeah, we prayed in Jesus.
Beautiful.
My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Love it.
Philippians 4:19. Yes, 4:19. All right, kiddos. You never know when the teacher's walking around with this clipboard ready for the pop quiz. So everyone at the Quest must be
at their best.
Well, and you can remember
if they want to pass the test
with the quest.
Yeah.
You can remember though Philippians 4:19 because that's the day before Easter. Easter's 4:20, 4:19.
Dave has a wonderful scripture.
Oh my gosh!
How about that?
And Easter, what a glorious day! So there's glorious riches.
There you go. Two hacks. Two great hacks. And just remember, sometimes we need a Bentley. Sometimes.
You never need a Bentley.
We need a Maserati. Sometimes we need a private jet. Am I right?
What?
No, I don't think so. No. Needs, not greeds. And by the way, the thing I might need the most may just be the thing I want the least in a lot of times.
And you don't know what you need, too, a lot of times.
You don't know. Correct. I mean, boy, oh boy. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, I've heard this great phrase someone talked about when they stepped into recovery in sobriety, and they said, if God had given me everything I wanted when I stepped in to my journey of recovery, that would have been all I got.
Mm.
You know, I would have been selling myself short.
Yeah.
And what is it, the Garth Brooks song? I mean, the best prayers are the unanswered ones.
Amen.
A lot of times, like, oh boy.
So true.
God, if you gave me my wish list, I would have really been in trouble.
Well, he answers your prayers, but sometimes the answer is no.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so certainly there's another way you could reframe that too. Some I've heard God has three answers to prayer. Yes, wait, or I have something better.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that something better might not be from a materialistic standpoint, but always spiritually it's better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Coming up, Jessie Farron, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, is back, and she's going to be talking about how we can spring clean our finances.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:51.
Jessie Farron, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock and founder of the website Jessie Farron Real Life on a Budget is back. And today she is going to be talking to us about spring cleaning our finances. So welcome back, Jessie.
Thank you for having me again.
Usually when we think about spring cleaning, we're thinking about deep cleaning our homes and doing, you know, cleaning tasks that we don't enjoy doing, like scrubbing our baseboards, which is not fun.
No, it's not.
So how is spring cleaning our finances similar to deep cleaning our homes, Jessie?
So it's kind of like, I feel pretty confident saying this, that everyone listening to this right now probably has a drawer or a closet or a cabinet or their whole garage or maybe the whole house that, you know, you just want to ignore all the time because you don't want to open it. It's a mess. You're like, I don't want to deal with that. No, thank you.
Avoiding it.
Exactly. You're avoiding it. But the reality is that you know that you need to open the door and you need to pull everything out and you need to go through it, right?
Yes.
That kind of happens with our finances too. You know, things build up throughout the year. And we're human, right? So how many times are you still paying for an app or a service that you're not actually using anymore, right? And we think, oh, it's just $2.99 a month. It's not that big of a deal. But those $2.99s, they start to add
up totally
after a while.
Up.
And the reality is that if you're not using it, it's just clutter being added to your life over and over and over again. It's like not dealing with that closet that you don't want to deal
with. Yes. So how do we go about deep cleaning our finances?
It starts with taking an honest look at your finances. And so I always encourage everyone to go back 30 days. So to go back 30 days in their bank accounts from all the spending accounts they have, whether it's checking account, credit cards, and look to see what they have been spending their money on. And then just to kind of just make a list of it and ask yourself, is this what I want to be spending my money on? You know, and pray and ask God, like, what here do I need to get rid of? What is taking space in my finances that it doesn't need to be?
Again, that can take some determination doing that, right?
Yes.
And looking and actually see where the money is going. Because a lot of people, I mean, it's easy, even me, going here and getting this, getting that, and you kind of lose track of what you're really getting. And then when you look 30 days past, it's like, oh my, this is where my money went.
Yes. And it can be very shocking.
Yes. So what if we're struggling to let go of these expenses and spending money unnecessarily? What kind of advice do you have for that?
And this can be hard because it can be, there was a coaching client that I had a couple years ago who kept paying for Hulu but they weren't watching Hulu. They weren't watching it at all. They maybe watched it one time a year.
Yeah.
And so I suggested to them, I think you need to get rid of this expense, you know, and it was, I think, $14.99 or something a month. So it wasn't a ton of money. And they're like, oh, well, no, I mean, but, you know, we might want to watch something and all of this. And the reality is that's an attachment. We're developing an attachment to an expense that's not bringing any value in our life. In fact, it's that low-hanging fruit that we're refusing to just prune off and get rid of.
Yeah.
And the truth is that that doesn't mean that you can't ever have Hulu again or that you can't ever, you know, have that expense again. But if it's not working for you in this season of life, it's time for it to go. It's time for us to detach from that and to be willing to say, nope, I don't need this anymore right now. Again, going back to spring cleaning our homes, it's kind of the same thing with spring cleaning our houses. Yeah. There's a lot of things that we have in our house that, relatively speaking, are not a whole lot of money that we just hold on to in the event of I might need this one day.
Yeah.
When the reality is that it might be something so cheap that we could just literally go to Walmart and spend $10 and buy it again if we absolutely needed it that badly.
Yes.
But if we haven't been using it for years, what makes us think that the second we get rid of it, we're going to all of a sudden be in dire need of that one thing, right?
Yes. No, absolutely. So what's a good first step for tackling lingering debt during a financial spring cleaning?
That, again, is to go through our spending, see where our money is going, but also to make a list of what our debts actually are. And that means, you know, their balances, their minimum payments, their interest rates, and their due dates. So that way we can actually see what we all owe and to see, you know, how much of our income every single month is locked into those payments and what we could do if we got rid of those payments. My husband and I, when we became debt-free, we always said that we gave ourselves the biggest pay raise we've ever had when we got rid of my fully loaded Tahoe that had a huge loan attached to it for my 2001 Toyota Sequoia that we paid cash for.
Yes.
We gave ourselves nearly a $500 a month pay raise just from that one debt being gone in our lives.
Yeah.
And so ask yourself, what could I do with this money if I wasn't still paying for these things that I probably by now have already used up and don't even have in my life anymore, right? What could I do with it?
No, that's nice. So what's one easy action step anyone can take today to start fresh with their finances?
It is that 30, it's looking at the last 30 days of their transactions. That's the key here, because a lot of times we are so unaware of what our money is doing because so much of our money, the way that we spend it, is outside. You know, where we use a card at the store, we buy things online, we pay our bills online. We don't even write checks for our bills anymore. And so because of that, there is a disconnect with our money. So we need to first go back and find out where our money has been going. And then I would suggest doing a cash only challenge, whether that's for a day, a weekend, a week, or even an entire month.
Yeah.
Do a cash only challenge where you are only spending money with cash, meaning you're going into the grocery store, spending cash versus, you know, doing online pickup. I know that can be a hassle, but the truth is that when we do this, we become more connected to our money because we're actually physically seeing it and we're starting to connect those dots again and being able to understand that, hey, this is how and where my money is going. We're able in those moments to make better decisions because we have to actually give up the money.
Yes.
Physically.
When you have
to physically
hand,
give it up.
It's completely different. Yes.
Yes. And so it's not just up tapping it on the screen and moving on with our day, right? It's like, okay, I have to actually hand you this $20 bill. Do I really want to give away this $20 bill for this thing, right?
Yes.
And so it changes that a lot. So that would definitely be where I would say for folks to start. You know, it's kind of that clearing of the closet.
Oh, that's so nice. So Jesse, where could people get information about you, your books, and then your blog if they want more information from you?
They can find me at my blog at jessefiron.com, on Instagram at Jesse Fearon, and they can also find my books Getting Good with Money and Faithful Finances on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Thank you so much, Jesse Fearon, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me again.
And you hear Jesse Fearon here on The Quest.
Josh.
Yeah. All right, one last time, one last radio. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 4:19.
Amen.
Philippians 4:19. Love it, live it, pray it.
And know it by Friday.
Know it by Friday. Yeah, because I'm going to be going around. The teacher's going to be throwing some pop quizzes around the studio.
Okay.
I will be ready.
All right, well, we look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Thanks for making this hour so special. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.